This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is a keynote speech that Gary gave for FreightWave TV. He goes in-depth on storytelling and branding and why it's the key to building a successful business. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Global Maritime Logistics segment of the Global Supply Chain segment summit here on FreightWaves TV. It's such an honor today to have one of our keynote speakers today. He's a 5 times New York Times bestseller, venture capitalist, early investor in Twitter, Tumblr, Venmo, Uber, chairman of VaynerX and VaynerMedia, none other than Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary, it's such a pleasure to have you here today at FreightWaves TV.
Thanks, Steve. Really excited to be here.
Wow, it's quite an honor. You know, Gary, I have to tell you, before we get started, I just need to ask. It's inquiring minds need to know. So would you take the Onis Wagner T206 or the Joe Namath 65 rookie?
I would take the 65 Namath because I'm a diehard Jets fan. But for anybody who's listening for sports card advice, the Honus Wagner is a very good call. I would actually argue that the Fleer Jordan rookie is, even off of its crazy weekend this weekend where it went for $700,000, is still wildly underpriced as the modern Mona Lisa. And then you got the Mantle. And I also think old basketball, Wilt Chamberlain, George Mikan. So there's a lot of good plays out there, Steve.
I knew you were a big Jets fan. I have my color coding in the green in the background for you in symbolic of your Jets fandom. Hey, Gary, you know, I named this title, this is going to kind of come out of left field, but I actually named the segment called Pinot Noir and Napoleon's Horse. And the reason why I did that is deference to the way that you got started in working in the wine industry and working with your dad. It's very similar to the way that I get started in as an entrepreneur and CEO, working with my dad. My dad was an immigrant, was a janitor, ran a curtain factory, and you know, I know your dad ran a wine shop. And I just was interested about the background of that and how you got involved in, you know, really being a hustler and really being able to sell and create a story. So I can just imagine in your dad's wine shop where someone would come in and, you know, they'd have a $20 bottle and you'd say, hey, what are we having for dinner tonight? And they'd say, duck. And you might say, well, hey, how about that Pinot Noir? And, you know, this is the new varietal. And, you know, years ago, Napoleon's Horse grazed in the vineyard where they harvest it. Is that kind of how you got started?
That's, you know, nobody's ever gone that detailed. And I would argue that's exactly right. And kudos to you. I, by nature, am a good storyteller, which, you know, luckily, I had very good parenting, because when you're a good storyteller, you know, you could end up like the stuff that you don't want to step in, you know? And when you're a good storyteller and you have morals and you play long and you care about your reputation, you really have the ingredients of a significant marketer. And I think for everybody here knowing the industry that's watching, a lot of times organizations that don't have the luxury of wine or sports or things of that nature struggle to think about what they're going to market or what they're going to say. And I remind people, you know, Geico sells insurance and they've been creative, right? You know, UPS and FedEx sell logistics. Like, there's ways to be creative regardless of your business. So that's exactly right. I listened a lot and I educated a lot. And so when somebody came in and said they needed a Chardonnay, and I would say, hey, try this Pouilly Fousse. And they said, hey, kid, I said Chardonnay. And I'm like, no, Pouilly Fousse is the region in France, but it's made from 100% Chardonnay. But it doesn't have as much oak as California, which actually gives it more balance. And if you're going to have fish, you don't want the oak to overpower it. It's not like you're having, you know, thick chicken with mashed potatoes. You know, that started building reputation. And to your point, sometimes I did talk about, like, and they have 50 dogs on the vineyard. And you knew that would capture someone's imagination even more than if they liked the wine. And so you got it.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool because I'm a big believer in storytelling. And, you know, in my dad's case, I remember this lady used to come into his curtain factory all the time. And my dad worked for this Pakistani guy that had this curtain factory. And my dad would, you know, my dad was a janitor, but he was really great with design and decor. And she'd always come in and he'd always say, hey, you know, Joan, this $50 curtain is much better than the $250 brand. And I'd look at my dad after work and I'd say, Dad, you could have had a chance to, you know, really build up a commission. And he said, son, you know, the quality is my word is my bond. And I know when you got interviewed with Larry King, you know, you talked about that and you talked about that. That was kind of an aha moment with you, with your dad, where it almost was like where your dad was saying, hey, Gary, that's really great that you can do that upselling, but kind of stop the bluster and sell from your heart. Was that kind of the approach?
It was very real. When I came to my dad, I was already a very accomplished baseball card dealer, and I was 14 years old. I was a kid, and the sale was everything. The win was everything. And, you know, my dad thinks embellishment is lying. And so, and not only embellishment is lying, embellishment is a three-strike offense. This is true. My dad actually doesn't have a whole lot of friends because he really doesn't. He's visceral to anything like that. And so, you know, I wasn't out there doing crazy stuff, but, you know, I don't really recall, but I'll give you an example of the energy of it. Somebody would come in, they'd say, how's this wine? And I would say, oh, I've heard customers say it was good, even though we just had it for a week and my dad knew that I hadn't heard that. And he's like, no. And that really helped me and really changed me at a young age. And now my career is so built on people knowing who I am that I'm really happy that I can navigate the world and know that I don't have skeletons in the closet of doing wrong things in business, which, you know, in today's environment would have reared their heads and really hurt me. And I give my dad a lot of credit for that. No question.
Well, it sounds like, you and I had a similar upbringing, because I know that on the flip side, you know, you've always referred to your mom as the juggernaut, right, of the Vaynerchuk family. And I know that, you know, in looking at the family dynamics, you know, you've inherited a lot of really interesting qualities from both parents. So my hat's off to you, you know. And one of the things, Gary, that the reason why I kind of went with the title Pinot Noir and Napoleon's Horse is that our audience today is really, you're talking to really kind of two sets of people in the container shipping and the maritime and the logistics industry. And I think that, you know, containers and freight and logistics, it's very commoditized. And I don't know if you would make the argument, but that wine could be commoditized. And that's why personal storytelling is so important.
Everything is commoditized. It's why I brought up FedEx and UPS and insurance. Wine has a lot of story potential. A restaurant does, clothes. I love the way you're dressed right now. All those brands, from the pin to the tie to the scarf to the handkerchief to the shirt, they have potential. I can understand right now, and I'm being very empathetic and I'm thinking strategically, that a lot of people here are like, we can't put out advertising, or like, what are we gonna say? And I disagree with that. I think that on LinkedIn today, you basically have the combination of every B2B magazine and every B2B conference that all of you go to in one place, and you can start a podcast, you can put out white papers, you can speak about 13 things to watch out for. I'll give you an example. Tomorrow, if I got into this business knowing nothing, my first article or video on LinkedIn is 13 things to watch out for when you pick a provider, right? And you run that against people who, like, because all of you know your business. And there's the reverse in wine. People don't know anything about wine. Like, people are overwhelmed with wine. They're intimidated by wine. So when people come to my dad's business through the years, they just wanted something good. And so, you know, or with GE or Chase, where the services, we do marketing for those companies as one of their partners, a lot of what they do is commoditized as well. They have very direct competitors doing the same exact thing, and branding and marketing and storytelling, and how do they do it? Personalities. I think everybody here should be interviewing clients that they've had for 10 plus years and ask, and here's a show I would do immediately, Steve. I would do a show called 10 plus years, and it's clients of your business, if you're lucky enough to be around that long, who've been with you for 10 plus years. You interview them to profile their business as one of the people on this conference right now. But as you can imagine, while I'm promoting this person's food company or apparel company, I may slip in a couple questions of like, hey, make pretend you're the guest. Steve, why don't you give the audience a little insight to why you've stuck with us for long? What did we do that somebody else didn't do? Of course, that's good for me, Steve, but actually, I want people to learn on the other side. How do you view a good purveyor or partner? So that kind of stuff, Steve, makes sense?
Well, listen, does it make sense? Are you kidding? I mean, I think one of the things that I learned from you, Gary, is that whole scenario that you just spoke about is that you can actually turn that into, you know, as you said, 6 or 7 different value propositions, put it out and cut it up in 6 or 7 different times. Now, all of a sudden, you have 36, 37 different pieces of media content to post. And I think that's brilliant. But I think that one of the problems that my following and my team and the viewers of our conference struggle with, Gary, in logistics is a lot of times the best that a lot of our guys and gals can do is just repost. They're a little scared about putting out original content. Their expertise level on LinkedIn is on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 2 or a 3. What are 3 things that we can do to maybe get them to 5s and 6?
Great question. Number one, self-awareness. For everybody's listening, not everybody's as handsome and gifted gab as Steve here is right now. So you might not be comfortable with having the camera in front of you. That's fine. I do well with the camera. Steve clearly does well with the camera. But not everybody does, and that's fine. Some of you should be doing audio, podcast and audio clips. Again, listening to Steve, he's got that cadence in the way he's talking. I also feel great in audio. Some of you don't want to do either of those, and you want to write long blog posts and interviews. Good news. Not good for me. I'm not a great writer. I can't speak for Steve. But for you, that might be the way. Between written, audio, and video, those are the 3 things you have to think about. Are you self-aware? How do you communicate well? That's number one. After that, number two is spend 5 hours Googling how to market on LinkedIn. Literally, directly. How is a shipping company can I market on LinkedIn? Enter. You'll be stunned what's on the internet. Stunned what's on the internet, everybody. So you do 5 hours of that, and you do it very specific, or you do 10 tips of marketing on LinkedIn. You'll find a bunch of great stuff. Number three, reply to comments. Even if you get 1 or 2, start building a community right away. Number four, the at bat is more important than if you strike out or hit a home run. You've got to put out content. You never know what's going to go viral. You never know. Don't forget, you're in a very narrow B2B business. All you need is one good person to see it, to lead to a huge account, to make all the efforts. Right, Steve?
Well, listen, I tell you what, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is that I noticed I'm pretty savvy on LinkedIn. I have to think that I'm at the top of my game. And I noticed that there's probably in the last 6 months because of COVID, Gary, I would say maybe 100,000 of my colleagues out there in logistics or supply chain or transportation sales, they've changed roles. So they're all in these new roles less than 3 to 6 months. And they're just sitting there with this beautiful blank canvas that you just described. And I'm thinking to myself, I think a lot of them get skull blocked in the fact that they're working for a company. They may not be entrepreneurs, but the way I look at it is, hey, you know, Procter & Gamble or Coca-Cola or you know, one of your clients like Anheuser-Busch, they're looking for a few good men and women. And if you differentiate yourself as like the supply chain girl or guy or gal or guru, then you're going to get noticed. And you're going to guess who's going to go from 150,000 to 200,000. So
that is a humongous point. What do they say? What do they say? Quiet mouths don't get fed.
Exactly.
Or something like that, right?
Exactly.
This is the greatest era to put out content on LinkedIn for B2B people. This conference should be running to get, my friends, 10 hours of education. Isn't that worth, to Steve's point, to get a promotion, to get a raise, to start your own business, to make 2 times the money in the next 3 years?
Gary, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Gary.
No, please.
Do you still feel that LinkedIn is the Facebook of 2012?
Yes, thank you for hearing that quote from me. I believe the way, and let me explain to everybody what I mean by that. In 2012, 13, 14, I was trying to get people to understand, if you post on Facebook, lots of people will see it that have no idea who you are. It's just what was going on. There was so much attention on Facebook. Right now on LinkedIn, and this will change in the next 2 to 3 years, Steve, because people are figuring it out. There's something called organic reach. You post and people just see it. People that don't even follow you. When platforms get mature, like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, you don't get it anymore because ads take up that extra inventory of attention. It's supply and demand of attention.
Right
now on LinkedIn, there's more attention than there is people posting and running ads. So for the getting is good now, Steve. It's like buying real estate. You might not be buying beachfront like I did 6 years ago, but you're maybe one street away from the beach. for that a good price. Whereas in 6 years, it's going to be 16 streets back, three times the price of what it is now.
And Gary, you know, you make a good point. I mean, I know your family, you come from you're Belarusian, correct?
Correct.
Your background, Eastern Europe. Yes. I lived in Prague myself for 10 years. I married a beautiful woman from Russia. I've lived in, as I said, the Czech Republic 10 years. And, you know, one of the things that I found is, for example, video editors. You know, we talked a lot about video content. I mean, I've got a couple guys in Slovakia, in the Ukraine. I mean, I just send them my videos and they make my Gary V style videos. It's like so powerful. And, you know, at this stage, I don't really care how I'm perceived. If I'm putting out professional content and I'm getting a great video editor, I'm getting the labeling done correctly, and I can repurpose that, it's just the greatest thing in the world. And I think so many more of us should be taking advantage of that.
Listen, as I'm going through this interview, it's very obvious to me that you are very in it. And you have a good sense of my points of view and definitely the macro point of view. I have a funny feeling we're gonna head nod here a lot in this interview. Yes, I agree. Listen, here's what I wanna get across in this chat. This is important. In the history of B2B marketing, not sales. Steve, 99% of the organizations that are watching this right now are sales organizations, right?
Right.
They have sales, they have the leads. I'm talking about marketing, and both matter. I love salespeople. You know, sales and marketing, as you know, Steve, sometimes clash. You know, salespeople make fun of marketers for just wasting money and not showing any business results. Marketers make fun of salespeople without realizing that Nike doesn't have a sales team. It's branding. Branding matters, right? SAP,
right.
Geico, you know, FedEx, da da da. And they both matter. In the history of B2B marketing, in the logistics industry, there has never been a time like there is right this second. Executives are consuming more LinkedIn than ever because of COVID. They are the decision makers, and your ability for yourself as a human or the organization as a human on behalf of the organization, or if you create Snoopy like MetLife did, or Geico Dinosaur, or, you know, Caveman like Geico did, however you want to attack this, please attack it. I'm going to make it very simple, like a prescription from a doctor. 2-3, stick with me here, posts a day on LinkedIn, started a profile. I know most of you have no profile. You've never even posted. Post, see what happens. Put a phone number and email there. You will be flabbergasted.
Gary, you know, you're so right about that. You know, I've been CEO of my own company for some 20 plus years. I started putting out content. I got a LinkedIn Live broadcasting privilege. And then FreightWaves said, hey, you know, this is great what you're doing. We want you to do content for us. And that's how I came to meet you today. I've been recognized for putting out the right content. But I do want to kind of switch gears. And I want to talk about the fact that in logistics, freight, and supply chain right now, there are record-setting profits being made. The price to get ocean freight from, say, Shanghai to the West Coast has never been higher, $6,000, $7,000 compared to, say, $2,000 last year. So a lot of service providers are just kind of saying, ha, 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 and kind of banking on big bonuses, where the traffic managers, the logistics managers that are watching us speak right now are saying, I don't know how to explain to my CFO that I'm over budget. Now, I know you had a friend and you guys were having beers and he was talking about a project where it was supposed to be a 15-week project. It only took 2 weeks. They cleared 9 million and there was a lot of room, obviously, for everyone to make profits, everyone to increase value, everyone to have a solution. How do you balance the two where one industry is trying to yield, grab the yields and say, damn the customer, and the other side is saying, hey, damn you, you put me way over budget and made me look bad?
This is a tough question. For me, I'm obsessed with brand and legacy. So to me, I literally think about my money this way. My employees, my customers, me. Because I'm trying to build something meaningful. And I think people are transactional too much, Steve. And so I think everybody needs to run an organization that finds the right balance between profit.
I agree.
And doing the right thing. And I think, just remember, if you know, what is it like, hogs get slaughtered, right? The pigs, right?
Pigs get slaughtered. Yeah, pigs get slaughtered, right? Bulls make money, pigs get slaughtered, right?
And I just don't understand why somebody in a moment of vulnerability or opportunity try to milk it so much when it's at the cost of somebody else. It's one thing if you're like brilliant and you bought sports cards 3 years ago and, you know, like, but it's another thing when you're running on that kind of margin on a transaction, it's going to eventually create a vulnerability. And I think no short-term success is worth long-term vulnerability.
Totally agree. We have a few minutes left, so let me give you some fast hitter type questions. Gary, what sets off your bullshit radar?
When somebody says they want to do something for me, when in reality it's a manipulation for something they want to ask of me.
What's the most misunderstood area of personal branding?
That it's narcissistic. You know, I think a lot of people struggle with personal brand because they think that person's a narcissist and needs attention. It's just a marketing strategy to have leverage.
Right now, right here today, we go off the air in 5 minutes or we finish our talk. What's the number one organic strategy, your favorite organic strategy right now today for outreach?
Organic reach is 100% LinkedIn, TikTok, and Clubhouse. If you don't know what Clubhouse is, please Google Clubhouse app. It's an audio app. Some of you should start logistic rooms tonight. It would be huge for you.
Gary, a lot of people are thinking, okay, well, this LinkedIn thing, you know, I know the Facebook-y thing, I know the Instagram thing, I know the TikTok thing. If I post on LinkedIn, should I put the same post on Facebook? Now, what's your feeling on that cross promotion on Facebook?
It's not the worst in the world because you never know, but you want to fish where the fish are. And when you take something that's very narrow in a B2B world and then you go post it on Facebook where you have your friends following you or like your employees, the content's not going to land. It's like saying the same joke to your children as you are with your best friend from college. It may land different. So it doesn't cost a lot to post it elsewhere, but you may be perceived as tone deaf and out of touch, and so you want to be thoughtful about that.
And how do you feel about, I know you mentioned Clubhouse, which is, for those that don't know it, it's an audio-only forum, and it's you have the chance to go on stage and listen and great get some great advice, and you can even make your own rooms. There's a Clubhouse LinkedIn strategy. How would you play that?
I would, many things. I would do Clubhouse all the time. I would take a screenshot of me on Clubhouse. I would then post it on LinkedIn, and I would write a recap of the things that were talked about in the chat in written form to then create a circle of awareness. My LinkedIn audience knows I'm on Clubhouse, they come there. Clubhouse people know, you know, start knowing that I'm on LinkedIn. I might mention, hey, everybody, I'm taking notes. I'll do the recap on my LinkedIn. Check me out on LinkedIn while I'm on the Clubhouse. So creating a flywheel.
And the last question, Gary, I know this has been just illuminating for my audience, is how can our audience find more about some of your favorite LinkedIn strategies? I know you post religiously throughout the net, but where can we find some of the most latest and greatest tips on how you would advocate going about LinkedIn?
You can go to search.garyvaynerchuk.com, or you can just Google Gary Vaynerchuk's or Gary V's search engine. I've created a search engine where you can literally type in the word LinkedIn and results will pop up. That will be probably the most effective and efficient way for everybody here.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's just been amazing. We've hit on a few issues, but I think if there's one major takeaway to the audience and all our great global supply chain men and women in maritime, transportation, supply chain, trucking that are listening, Gary's given us hope that we can all be personal branding experts ourselves, increase our organic presence and our reach on LinkedIn. And we really want to thank Gary for your time today. You've given us some amazing tips, and I hope you'll come back and see the Freight Waves family at some point.
Steve, I appreciate that. One last parting shot. I was just thinking of a trucking company. I've got a lot brewing, like putting out everybody who's on here right now. Think of yourself as a magazine, and when you put out your content, trucking companies that are listening right now can literally say things like three reasons why you need a trucking company. Now, be careful. Don't be too promotional and eat your own bull crap, right? You gotta be real thoughtful. You're a magazine, you're not the business. That's why I said think like a magazine. Think like you're CNBC, not like you're your own business. I've done that my whole career with the wine reviewing and all my business. I put out good content around marketing, almost never, Steve, with what VaynerMedia's up to. It may trickle to VaynerMedia, but I think everyone here would have big unlocks if they realize they're not making commercials, but they're making editorial, and I just wanted to put that flag in the ground one more time before I left here.
I think that's great, not only for trucking, but ocean freight vendors, freight forwarders, anybody in that that genre. So, hey, great tips, Gary. Thanks for coming to the virtual stage, and we'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone. Happy New Year.
You too, Gary. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Today's highlighted review is Glad I Found You by Coach Eric P. Back in 2017, I decided to look for a connection. I was going in the right direction to become the best version of myself, and by luck, I bumped into one of your YouTube videos talking about podcasting and how you need empathy. Thanks, Gary. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.